Good morning, everybody. Glad to be back on this Saturday morning. My name is Ed Samuel. I'm a career coach with a firm called Sam Nova. We're based in Kennett Square, PA, and serve clients in the greater Philadelphia area and across the U.S. You know, this morning we're going to talk about a topic that's near and dear to every one of us. It has to do with our image. We are, we're probably take a lot of our image for granted, and maybe we underestimate the importance when trying to optimize your career or your life for that matter. You know, as a career coach, I venture into this area of image when it comes to behaviors, especially when people are in transition and they're looking to interview and make an impression, but certainly not as much as I would like to, especially when it comes to physical appearance as well. So this morning, I'm pleased to have on the program my friend Eileen Scardina, who's a image consultant, and she resides in the Philly area. Eileen's been in this looking good business for more than 20 years. Her experience as an image consultant really touches both men and women, helping them make a great first impression in both their work life and personal life. Eileen brings a variety of tools and resources to her clients. She specializes in skincare for both men and women, and is a personal stylist for men. Eileen really brings a personalized attention and detail to her clients and as they move towards this journey of improving their image. So, Eileen, so glad to have you here this morning.
I'm very glad to be here, Ed. Thank you for the chance.
You know, Eileen, before we get kind of into some of the details, how did you kind of get into this whole career of becoming an image consultant?
Well, I started as a consultant for a skincare company and loved that, was doing that kind of business for quite a number of years. And then there was the opportunity for me to help my college-age daughter with the interview process for getting an internship. And I realized that if she was having these challenges, there were a lot of other people that were doing it also and having the same challenge. So I investigated becoming an image consultant, and the rest is just history.
Well, it's really your family got you involved.
Yes.
Eileen, one of the most important parts of a person's career is like landing a job, advancing their career. And how important is it that a person makes a great first impression?
That's a great question, Ed. It is absolutely crucial. The name of my business is The First Seven. And as you said, that's how many seconds it is for someone to make a great impression. And hopefully it's always a positive one. And that saying about only being given one chance to make a great impression is absolutely true. And it's hard to change someone's mind if it doesn't go well the first time around. It takes quite a few more interactions. And these days we just don't have them all the time. So making it count and doing the best that we can the first time around is absolutely imperative.
Yeah, do you have any statistics, Eileen, when it comes to the impact, as it relates to first impressions in terms of its importance?
Actually, I do have a couple. The Wall Street Journal in the last couple of years have given out information that someone is hired in the first 4 minutes of an interview. And that just goes to show that is far beyond just their resume. It's the interaction that that individual has in an interview process beyond just the paper that's in front of them, sharing the credentials that the individual has. In addition to that, 51% of the impression that you give is body language and appearance. And this is the largest segment out of the entire 100% of what goes into making an impression. More than half of it is just how you look and how you manage your body language.
Wow, that's amazing. 51%. So you could do everything right. The resume could be perfect. And yet if you kind of fall flat on your face on appearance and that image, then it could just knock you right out of the contention.
Absolutely true. It's all about that first impression. And we're all visual individuals. So how we look and how we position our bodies is really a very big factor in all this.
So, you know, as we think about, you know, ways to what people have to do to improve their image, can you go through maybe the top, you know, 3, 4, 5 ways people can, what they need to do to improve their image?
Well, one of the best and easiest things that someone can do to improve their image is to smile when they meet somebody. And it's the easiest because it doesn't cost anything. It's very easy to do, but it has a huge impact. And not only for the individual that is perhaps the interviewer, They like to see that interaction where someone is giving the impression of being at ease and happy to be there, while the person that's being interviewed is kind of allowing themselves to be put in a position where they're looking comfortable. And that is going to be far-reaching in how they are viewed by the other individual. So that, what I would say, is one of the first and most important things. It immediately puts both people at ease. The next thing I would say, Ed, is engagement. Some small talk, some questions to ask if it's on an interview process, that you're not being the one only answering the questions, that you're also asking some questions of pertinent value to the interaction that the two of you are having. And that does take some preparation. So doing a little research, perhaps, on the company that you're being interviewed by, or if it's a networking opportunity, what's the goal of that networking opportunity? What is it that they stand for, or what are they trying to accomplish? The next one is one that I think so many of us struggle with at times, and that's being on time, or at least early. We all can be challenged by this, but it says volumes about how, not only how we manage our time to get to that event, that interview, but also how we manage our time going forward in other aspects of interactions with individuals. And last, but certainly not least, is looking the part. If it's an interview, looking into what the culture of that organization is so that you can dress appropriately and make a great impression by going back to that 51%. How you look is going to be crucial in looking the part for the position you're looking for to land, or perhaps making an impression on someone, whether it's dating or just in your personal life.
So the so everything you just kind of walked us through, those four points. Mm-hmm. It's both for an interview, but also if you're meeting somebody.
Absolutely.
You know, I guess on a first date?
Absolutely. A first date, yes. I mean, so many individuals nowadays are dating through websites and dating sites where it's very one-dimensional. And then you actually have the opportunity to meet someone. You want it to go well. And it's sort of like an interview. It's just, do I click enough or have enough commonalities with you to go forward and have another date where it might lead to something that's a friendship and beyond? It's kind of the same thing as an interview. You're looking to have commonalities with the organization so that you are a fit for that company or that group to be able to be hired.
You know, it's interesting as I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, these four points, at least two of them I bring up to my clients all the time when it comes to LinkedIn and using LinkedIn to make an impact on people in terms of first impressions. Now, obviously, it's not face-to-face, but people, you know, I'll always counsel my clients to make sure they smile in that LinkedIn picture.
Yes.
versus looking grumpy or, you know, not looking at all. The other one is, looking the part. Mm-hmm. And I just spoke to a new client who's a mechanical engineer, you know, a really incredibly experienced mechanical engineer on the plant manufacturing floor. And we kind of had this discussion. He has to take a picture, you know, for LinkedIn because he doesn't have one. And he said, you know, should I wear a suit? And I said, well, how many mechanical engineers on the plant manufacturing floor wear a suit? And he looked at me, no one. I said, well, you know, maybe it's not such a good thing in this case, you know, to wear a suit. If you're a mechanical engineer on the manufacturing floor, right, you want to look good, but not necessarily. But I guess it's the it just drives home the point that those four things that you mentioned, are, you know, really, really impact a person, you know, when they come to meet somebody face to face. But and then a couple of them, you know, kind of carry over to social media.
Yes.
Now, Eileen, what's some of the common mistakes that you've seen when it comes to image, where you've met with people and you just see it time and time again? What are some of those mistakes?
I would say overwhelmingly, Ed, the biggest common mistake that I see is individuals not paying attention to the details. And I have a wonderful story that kind of illustrates this. A friend of mine was a former prosecutor in the Philadelphia legal system, and she did a very informal survey during jury duty selection. And she would watch opposing counsels and take notice of their shoes. And in some of the cases, the jury selection went more than one day. And she started just tallying up the state of the shoes of the opposing counsel and what they wore, be it a man or a woman, it didn't matter. And her informal survey led her to the end result that she won 75% of the cases where the opposing counsel did not take care of their shoes. And by that, I mean, they were scuffed, the heels were not taken care of, they weren't polished, nothing that it had nothing to do with style. It was all in the care of them. And she came to the conclusion that this was the last piece of article of clothing, most likely, that opposing counsel put on. But they didn't take the time to take the time to give some thought to it. And her theory was, if they didn't take time in something like that, would it translate to how they prepared for trial? And it turned out that she won 75% of the cases. So whenever I tell that story, I'm getting the same reaction that I see on your face, a smile, and individuals say, really? Shoes? And well, it's a critical piece, and it's a smaller detail, but has a huge impact.
Well, I'm giving it a double smile because my daughter and son-in-law are both attorneys. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to get home to tell them to shine those shoes if they want to get to that 75% success rate. Oh my goodness! But I think what an interesting observation. So you could be walking into an interview. If that same percentage held true, you could be walking into an interview. And, you know, let's say three people are interviewing, two people have, you know, roughed up shoes and the one person had shiny shoes. And what you're saying is there could be a psychological impact, as crazy as that sounds. And no one's going to admit, by the way, from an employment law standpoint, well, no. we picked the one person because of the shiny shoes, because I would imagine that would be another legal issue. But but in terms of perception. That's what you're driving home here. This is outstanding.
Let's face it, perception is reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everyone's reality is a little bit different, so they are going to perceive things a little differently. And in their observations of someone, everyone has different points that they like to hone in on to assess someone. Out of a grouping of, say, 15 things, you're maybe going to concentrate on five. I might be concentrating on five different ones, so that in that grouping of that one person that's sitting in front of three individuals, they might have very different perceptions of the person sitting in front of them being interviewed. But shoes might be on each one's list. So that would be the reason that, you know, shoes might be the make or break it statement for that person.
Is there any common mistakes that men tend to make more so than women?
My observation with men is that they often don't have pants that fit right.
Why are you looking at me that way?
I'm not looking at you that way. It's just that there are only two men in the room. I find that oftentimes they don't have them fit right, and it looks and a good fit is everything. It goes back to that attention to detail.
Gotcha. And what about from the female side of things?
I often think that for women, it's more often than not, it is the shoes. Really? Oftentimes, women don't take very good care of their shoes. And a second with women is they have the thought process that if it's worked for me for this many years, I'm not going to change it, and I'm going to keep doing what I've done in the past. And they're somewhat resistant to change, even with the times and their age being something they should be considering.
You know, I work with a lot of people who, you know, 55, 60,
yes.
65.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually helped people land jobs at 78 years old, permanent positions, right? But when you get to that 60, especially men, they get a little bit older. Is there anything else with men have to be especially, you know, where they make mistakes and they get a little bit older?
I would say that they sort of get in a routine of not being open-minded to the fact that things have changed. It's not the same as when they were looking for a job 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I would encourage them to be a little bit more open-minded, because them being open-minded can certainly open a whole new world for them. It's not as scary as they necessarily envision it and think that it might be. And it might be a fabulous new opportunity for them, lifelong learning, new friends, new experiences. That seems to be what I tend to see in men in general.
Okay.
More seasoned gentlemen.
Gotcha. I would imagine some people, you know, when you introduce yourself to them, you know, people kind of take this point of view like, hey, you know what? I look in the mirror every day. I deal with my own self-image, hey, and I'm just going to go it alone. And I just don't want to spend money on something where, you know, hey, I'm kind of in control. How do you convince people to work with you when they're kind of coming from this perspective. I'm looking good.
Yeah. Well, you have hit on one of the biggest challenges that I have being in the industry that I am. When individuals find out and ask what I do for a living and I tell them I'm an image consultant, I'll tell you more times than not, they become very self-conscious and they say, at least at some point during the interaction, how did I do? And want me to critique them.
Right there and then.
Right there and then.
Oh, wow.
Which is very off-putting. And my response is always, this is a no judgment zone. I do not do that sort of thing. However, to further answer your question, people that come to an image consultant are those that see the value in what I can bring to the table for them. And oftentimes that they, and those that need a little bit more swaying to see that point of view, need to understand that this is an investment not only in them, in their future, and getting the kind of job, perhaps if this is the avenue that I'm talking about right now, landing a position, it's going to do nothing but help them in a positive way going forward. So the other aspect is when someone changes their image and ups it, and maybe it's, changing some things in their wardrobe, changing those shoes, changing some of those four top things that I talked about earlier that they can do to improve. 9 times out of 10, their self-confidence goes up considerably. And when one is confident, they are far more attractive. People want to be in their space. They have a more likely chance of being hired, more likely chance to have that second date, if that's the realm that we're talking about. So it does nothing but help them. The other thing that I usually try to say is that while they might be looking in the mirror and saying that they're good and everything is okay, perhaps if they had the opportunity to kind of self-reflect on, am I really getting what I want with what I'm doing right now? And if they can say with no, maybe they need to reevaluate that and consider getting some help. And, getting some help can be your mother. Well, your mother's going to tell you you're fabulous. But an image consultant would be a more neutral person that's going to give you some adequate information and that's going to be a little bit more self-reliant for getting the kind of position that you want.
Is there a certain kind of person that you look for, in terms of if we're talking about a man or woman? Do you work with executives, people make $100,000 or greater? Do you work with, mid-level people? Mm-hmm. Do you work with entry-level people, students come out of college? Tell me a little bit about the mix of people you work with.
Sure. I'd love to share some information on that topic. My ideal clients are men that are executive and mid-level. Maybe they're challenged with being downsized, and they're in that middle age area, and they're kind of wondering, how do I get out of the place that I'm in to get to the place that I want to be? They certainly are open-minded, and that seems to make the biggest difference. However, I have dealt with entry-level position gentlemen, and they certainly need the help because they've probably been in college for 4 years at least, and they have been living in jeans and t-shirts and don't know what the real world is truly like and how they need to be part of it in a constructive, positive way, not only for themselves at that point in time, but going forward. To go back to women, usually I see women and I'd like to work with women that are wanting to update and or start a skincare routine. They've never done it before, or they need something that's a little bit different that's going to address the age that they currently are so that they look polished, professional, without wearing a lot of makeup, but taking care of their skin.
Gotcha. One of the things in my company, we spend half the time helping people who are working. Mm-hmm. Optimize their career and kind of move their career forward. And then the other half of the people are in job transition, life transition. Can you talk to me about the people that are working? Do you have many of them as clients versus the people who are in transition?
I do have individuals that are currently working that are clients of mine. And they are, for the most part, they are men that have a difficult time getting the correct fit of clothing. I'm a personal stylist for an independent company, and the biggest reason why men come to me for this kind of work is that they go to a department store and they do not get the kind of fit that they want. So they're currently working, they're successful, but they just don't feel good enough in their clothes, and they know that they could do better.
Gotcha. If somebody wanted to engage you, how does your process work? I know you go to a lot of networking meetings and you meet with people, but yep. If somebody, meet you and, hey, I'd like to, you know, work with you. How does your process work?
So that's a great question. So as far as like the consultation for men and the personal stylist with clothing, it all starts with a telephone call or a face-to-face if that happens to be convenient. And that's to assess goals, a time frame that they're looking to accomplish their goals in, and then perhaps a budget. So it all starts with questions, give and take, so that they understand how this company works, how I work with them, and the customer service that's involved in it. For anything with regards to, you know, skincare and the men's clothing, that's part of my compensation is built into the prices of that. For anything related to doing any image consulting, in as far as, say, for instance, you know, that young person that wants to do better with their interviewing skills and would like a little overview of the best practices, there's, you know, by the hour consultations that I do with sessions with that individual, as well as packages then if they have longer term goals that might expand over 6 months, 9 months, depending on what they want to achieve.
So your fees vary then. And can somebody, you know, let's just say if somebody's making, you know, $50,000 a year, could they afford you, or is it somebody who is making $200,000 a year? Where do you set your kind of your target at, or do you have one?
I certainly feel that I can help anyone, no matter what their income is at the current time. It all does certainly go back to what they're looking to achieve. I don't think that my fees are outrageously expensive, and I do work with those that have somewhat limited means to help them as best I can within the means that they have to accomplish their goals.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's great to know, because some people, I think, if they hear the name,
it's scary.
They think of an image consultant. Oh, my goodness. That's for, like, you know, the right. Hollywood people and the senior executives.
Right.
And that's not the case at all.
No.
So you're really open to talking to everybody.
Yes.
I mean, that's really great to know.
Mm-hmm.
One more success story you could share before we close.
Sure, I would love to. So one great story that I have is it was my first client. He's already a successful financial advisor, and I who looks always looks the part. And I was sharing with him what my new endeavor was with being a men's stylist, and I outlined a little bit about the type of man I was looking for, the process. Men come to us, me usually, for fit, because they don't get a good fit in a department store, and also the fact that they hate to shop. So after I finished, I said, well, Mike, can you introduce me to anybody in your network that you think might be helped by the kind of services that I can that I offer? And he turned to me and said, Eileen, you've known me for about 12 years, but what about me? And I was very surprised to hear him say that, and shared that with him. And he said, in case you haven't noticed, I am only 5'6", and I will never go into a short man shop, but I spend a lot of money going to Nordstrom's, buying a great suit, having it altered, and I'm still not happy with the fit. I think custom clothing might be the way for me to go, and I'd be willing to at least try it. He became my first client, and he has so far introduced me to three other guys that he knows in the same type of position with the fit aspect, and he continues to be a continuing client of mine. So that's been a wonderful story that was not my goal, but it ended up being terrific.
Well, fantastic.
Yes.
Eileen, you know, we're just about out of time. What's the best way for people to reach you?
The best way to reach me is at my my website. It is www.yourfirst7.com.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in. And we hope to have you back at some point. And we appreciate you making some time on this Saturday morning. So as we're wrapping things up, please join us again on our next Optimize Your Career program on Saturday, July 20th. You know, our topic will be fighting off depression while in job transition. What to do and not to do. We'll be joined by a special guest and life coach on the program, and that's Saturday, July 20th. This is Ed Samuel, career coach with Sam Nova. Our website is www.samnovainc.com, samnovainc.com. If you'd like to reach me by email, it's esamuel, E-S-A-M-U-E-L, at sam, samnovainc.com, or you could call our main number at 610-274-8214. Again, that's 610-274-8214. So make it a great weekend. So long for now, and God bless.